are now tuned into the best fatherhood radio show in the world. Furthering Fathering Radio Show. It's the Furthering Fathering Radio Show. The brothers are back in the building. Brother J in NYC and Brother L in the ATL. The Furthering Fathering Radio Show starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You ready?
Let's get the conversation started.
I emphasize that if anyone is listening to this as a replay or listening to it live, connect with Furthering Fathering. You will be encouraged. You will be edified. The 20, 30 minutes that we're on the radio chopping it up is nothing compared to the energy and the strength you will receive from men who love you just because you're a man. And then as they get to know you, they speak life to you, they challenge you, they affirm you, and they enable you to be powerful where you're needed, which is with your family. Brother Derek, you're saying hello.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to another Furthering Fathering multicast. I am your host, Pastor Jeremy Maynard. We are excited to be alive. This is an incredible time to be alive as we're growing and things are happening. And it's a unique time where we're coming out of a pandemic, quote unquote, but these issues that men struggle with, the issue that fathers struggle with, may have either been exacerbated or highlighted during this time. So, but you know how we always do. We always start off by honoring our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to go to Proverbs 24, verse 6. And it reads, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Yes, as you see, there's another incredible gentleman on with me. He is a life coach. He is a psychotherapist. But before that, I'm going to pray. He is someone who was on our Bible study last week and added so much richness that we were talking about doing each other's show even before that. But I feel I have a better understanding and knowledge of who this brother is. This is Dr. Suave Walker. But before that, we're going to get into some prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for soul power. You did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your stability. You are called the rock for a reason. You a foundation on which to build that is stable. Bless us, Lord, with stability in relationship. As dads, help us to know when to ask for help, how to ask for help, to seek wisdom, which is the principal thing, to have a multitude of counselors that vary so that we can ascertain what our purposes are, because purposes are established through a multitude of counselors, and with wise counsel, we make war. Spiritual warfare is a teamwork event. Thank you, Lord, for victory. In the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen.
Dr. Walker, how are you, my friend, my brother? How are you?
I am doing absolutely suave, amazing. Yes, thank you for asking.
Yes, he is an author. He is a psychotherapist. He is a life and relationship coach. He is a speaker, an entrepreneur, and also an on-air personality, both on video and on audio. He is the former owner and founder of Suave International. former clinical supervisor at Trinity Community Mental Health Center. He studied at St. Thomas University, Capella University, and got his doctorate in sociology in divinity at the College of Metaphysical Studies. So this is a man who is well-versed in helping us think right. How are you today, sir?
Man, I'm suave credible, man. I'm excited to get this going on, you know, because yes. The thing is, I don't question things. I just allow discernment, and that's how I connect to great people. And so I don't have to seek it, it comes. And so I'm just blessed and happy that we connected. I can't even recall how, but I know we did. And that's all that counts.
That's all that counts. So, you know, I have a question.
Okay.
You know, everyone has a testimony that leads into why they do what they do. What led you into the field of psychotherapy and life coaching?
To be honest with you, that was who I was created to be. One thing about I noticed, a lot of times I always say, people have their epiphanies during a time of crisis. Well, mental health is something that people tend to be forced into, you know? And then even in the mental health profession, a lot of people who are students, they normally get in as a result of crisis. They don't seek treatment. They just jump into the educational component and become a therapist. For me, this was something I always wanted to do as a child. My dad was in it. Some of my mentors was in it. And so that was something I wanted to do. So it was not something that I was forced as a result of crisis, but it was something that I was created to do, to help people. And just to tell you, as a kid, I was eccentric and certain things. So let me just tell you a brief story about a conversation with me and my father. Because he was like telling me, how do I see certain things and behaviors? And so it's no offense to anything, but I used to sit there and say, Daddy, can I ask you something? He said, yeah, son. I remember going to his office, you know, all the time. So I was like, anyway, I said, Dad, can I ask you a question? And he was saying, yeah. I said, our lady's crazy. He said, whoa, son, don't say that. What's wrong with you? Why would you say that? I said, no, it's just that I always looked at things. And I said, you remember when you told me to always keep my nails clean, always keep my afro sheen on my hair, always get my grades right, and always put on deodorant so I won't smell musky, you know, in the 70s, you know. He said, and you said, you get girls like that. He said, yes, that's right. I said, but Dad, I don't understand. The girls, like the boys who be smoking the reefers, you know, the language you use back then, they be playing hooky. And I don't understand. Aunt Linda and Uncle Willie's unemployed. He got a job and he's always drunk. And and Aunt Linda, she got a good job, make a lot of money. Why is she with him? And it don't make sense. And he says, you really pay attention to human behavior and how people act. I said, it just don't make sense. You taught me this, but this is what I'm seeing. He said, son, by the time you become an adult, it's going to be 100 times worse. And so as a person, I always paid attention to details. I remember asking when I was a kid, Mom, why you smoke? When you're thirsty, does the cigarette do something for you? Or when you're hungry, does a cigarette do something for you? They said, no. They said, you always asking all these questions. You know, and so I was always in tune to why people do what they, you know, what do. So yes. I had a interest in it. And so that's what I did.
The curiosity, because I myself, as a child, people call me counselor. I would be the, in the family gatherings, I'd be the one that all the adults would bring in, the one young person they would bring into the conversation to capture my perspective. And so I understand the inquisitiveness and the search for wisdom. Sometimes the search for wisdom is in the person, the group, the idea, what have you. Yours is behavioral, which is an awesome thing, because we want to know why people do what they do. And you can help them if they know why they do what they do. A follow-up question is, it's beautiful because it lends right into, because I didn't know that your father also practiced in psychotherapy, and you are second generation. You are anointed and you observe. We say one of it's the first or second learning style of a child is observation. So you got to see your father do what you are doing now. So I want to say something regarding fathers. Why is the observance, the focus, and the counseling in what I call soul power, because we're mind, we're will, and we're emotion, and that's the composite of soul. We're spiritual being. We have a mind, a will, and emotion, and we live in a body. So the soul power, when that comes from God, has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We all need that. But as men, we speak less and we're a little more guarded. Why is the counseling, the therapy, and the counseling and therapy so vital to dads and men?
Well, the way I look at things from a social, spiritual, and clinical perspective, from a spiritual perspective, I always saw men as the ones who would educate and teach and lead from a biblical or from a spiritual perspective in terms of praying, protecting, and trying to live as close of a righteous life as possible. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the social perspective, then again, that protective component of trying to make sure you carry yourself in a way that you would want your children, or specifically your young king, to act and behave. So you're teaching them how to protect and how to conduct themselves and have that sense of royalty in his head and how to be a protector. And from the psychological component is teaching nurturing, because we are socialized as not being intimate or socialized as being nurturing. But the reality, nurturing is that when you're teaching these things from a social, spiritual, and clinical perspective. And like, for example, I never, like, even when you came on the show, I said I was going to bring this up. And so it's my opportunity to bring it up. Like me, I always got kissed and hugged. Always was told I love. And a lot of times, because we socialize, we don't do it. And so I hear you. You told me you love me several times since we met. See, and this is organic and natural. But what happens is when fathers are absent and we don't know, we think that's like, people do the disclaimer, no homo. Bro, you don't have to say that. Right. We already know. But what happens is, I think it's vital. And so a lot of times when the father's not there because they have marginalized us, they don't understand the lessons and the life lessons that are taught in the household. And so I came up with a theory. It's called the matriarch household mentality. So what happens is the average male learns everything from a female perspective, regardless if it's spiritual, socially, or clinically. So for example, this is just a small example. Let's say it's a single mother doing the best she can, and she's teaching a young kid, saying, listen, anybody hit you, hit them back. Unbeknownst to her, she's telling that little male child to hit girls and guys. Mm-hmm. But if the father's there, say, whoa, she means well, but let's have this conversation. Son, you don't hit girls, and I don't want to ever hear you hitting girls. But if she happens to hit you, protect yourself and tell an authority figure. Son, if a little boy hits you, you still protect yourself, but you defend yourself. But under no circumstances do you hit a girl. And see, these are the same things. Again, a lot of times the average male, he's just looking at that mother as an adult, but he's not realizing that's coming from a female perspective.
Right.
You understand? And that's why it's so imperative that men, and in addition to, again, no matter how society has went to the left when it comes to our social perspective, our social perspectives never deviate from our spiritual perspectives. So we don't say our mother which art in heaven. We say our father which art in heaven. And we got to understand the order. It's that order. And it's done by our creator for a purpose. But what happens is, because we keep getting to these out of order scenario and situations in our lives, we actually think that's the right way. And we have to bring ourselves back. And that's one of the things that our creator and God created us to understand that order, and he had that order for a purpose.
Well, that's powerful. You know, it's going to cause me to switch up some questions, because there's this term toxic masculinity that I have a problem with. and yes. A lot of men have a problem with, but we're silenced because of what is projected in out the airwaves and what is considered right now led by clinicians and education, what masculinity is or isn't. So, but I'm going to take a quick break. We have to pay our bills.
Yes.
And we will be right back.
Fly TV, the home of on-demand talk shows and so much more, where celebrities, athletes, and entertainers put their content on to be seen by their fans. For more information, visit Fly TV at fli.tv.com.
Ladies, life is too short to be seen wearing boring jewelry. Come on over to Unique Loop-de-Loop, handmade jewelry and designs for your exclusive one-of-a-kind boho, sleek, fashionable jewelry. Log on to www.uniqueloopdeloop.com or join me on Instagram Live at Unique Loop-de-5 each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Haven Church Global, the safe place to grow in grace, where peace is made and the truth makes us free. Join the Haven Church Global's e-service every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a word of encouragement on Jeremy Anthony Maynard's Facebook page and the Jeremy Maynard YouTube page. For more information, visit havenchurchofny.org.
Let's get the conversation started.
This is Further and Farther in the multicast, the radio show and the TV show simultaneously. This week we're discussing Soul Power for Dads, aka mental health and fatherhood, with Dr. Suave Walker. Hey, you know, I love your social media presence, and we want to get back into that discussion we just had about mothers and the kind of hushing of masculinity and trying to find your place as a dad, you know, dealing with trauma and what have you. We're going to get into all of that. But you gave on your social media, I believe today, a quick divine social therapy session. Treatment is out here. Recovery is available and healing is possible. What can be gained by counseling one-on-one, and what can be gained by counseling in group session? What are the drawbacks? What are the differences really? And why did you actually make that video today?
Well, I made the video because a lot of times I see a lot of people struggling with mental health issues, and I see, and a lot of times people always say, "Well, where do I go?" You know, and I notice it's anything people do, first thing they do is Google. But subconsciously, people don't Google, where can I go for mental health issues? Where can I go if I'm struggling with depression? Where can I go if I'm having a traumatic situation? Where can I go if me and my wife are having issues? We don't, you know, and again, treatment is out there. Recovery is available and healing is possible. So when you understand that, you go. And so I put it out there to let people know, again, you have people out there can encourage you, friends, family members, but a lot of times they are subjective. So they're going to co-sign some of your foolishness. Why do you think sometimes we have false sense of security? Because people let us act and behave the way we do, and no one addresses the issue. No one talks about it. No one addresses the issues of boundaries being crossed. And that could be from our parents. Our parents can cross boundaries, but because we're so used to certain behaviors, we just accept it. And so it continues on. And so, again, I do everything from a social, spiritual, and clinical perspective. So we have to look at certain things. And so I said, well, let me do this video because I know that people need to recover. They need to be confronted. And it's important because it's out there. It was another question that you asked, part two of that question.
Yes.
Okay, what can we gain from it, I believe?
Yes.
So what you can gain for one thing about therapy, it's confidential. Yes. It's no one in the room. So that's your ability to be transparent. And so what we do is we build rapport.
Yes.
We help people understand. And so, and then we use tests. A lot of times people don't even know. A lot of times people look at the presenting problem, but they don't realize that presenting problem could be just what they're experiencing right now as a side effect. And then you find out 20, 30 years ago, they was molested. 20, 30 years ago, they was robbed. 20, 30 years, they got in a car accident. And so what happens is these are the side effects of trauma. So what can gain from it is that you are educated on your mental stuff. It's just like, for example, let's say when a nutritionist is telling you a background of your eating patterns and what's good, that's education. Well, the same thing with psychotherapy, mental health. You're being educated on some of the things that you have been experienced. So like on my show, a person, I was talking about anger management, anger issues. It's a person inboxed me and told me, this is why they got arrested. This is why they kept having fights in school. This is why they kept getting expelled. It's because they had anger issues and the show educated them. So the benefits of counseling and therapy is to let you know, you mean, and so when you're in there, you're like, oh my God, this is why. You understand? And that's the benefits. And the benefits from a group is knowing and hearing other people's story and realize you're not the only one who experienced it. And recovery is, remember I say, healing is possible. So when you're in that group, you're like, oh my God, you know? And everybody in that group is at different levels, you know?
We won't say that we've been doing this type of counseling, but we have been doing this type of counseling and furthering fathering. And you see the growth not only of the individuals in their issues, but you start seeing units being formed, friendships being formed, bonds being formed because of the safety. We're big on safety, that what happens here stays here.
Exactly.
And once you create that safety, a man will feel a little more free to release what is really pent up inside of him, because there's that pent up stuff that creates the, as I call, S-T-R-E-S-S, stress, struggling to reconcile extremely strenuous situations. So,
great acronym.
thank you. You know, we're on with today with Dr. Suave Walker, psychotherapist and life coach. This show's episode is Soul Power for Dads and Mental Health for Fatherhood, and we're really delving into the issues where men were less apt to seek therapy, and we learned some valuable lessons during this pandemic when we were pent up. We know we needed to reach out to somebody. And as Dr. Walker said, you know, people will Google everything, but won't Google where they can get some relief for their soul, some mental help for their mental health. So Dr. Suave, you know, dads, where dads are concerned, so many are dealing with distance. They're dealing with rejection. They never may have received what you and I, we both had our fathers. So we received that hands-on, real-life observation and affirmation. You know, they may have rejection issues. You know, with adding the social distance component, you know, it may have turned into more than social distance, but psychosocial distance. And it's being exacerbated. What are some ways to overcome, you know, because not every man lives with a family like you and I may have, or they may be lonely. They may be feel isolated or alone. What are some things that you would suggest to the men as we're coming out of being what do you call it, in place again? As we're sheltering in place, or sheltering in grace, as I used to say. Okay. As we're coming out of those things and the world is, quote unquote, opening back up, what are some of the things that men and dads can do to re-engage?
Okay, I wanted to start off with this quote. one of my mentors, he said, you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to start to become great. And so that inspired me to come up with my saying, and it's potential without initiative is not but a conversation with yourself and others and doing absolutely nothing. So the world is about the strong helping the weak. This is, remember how the Bible, it wasn't love, it was charity. It was giving. So the people who have had and have recovered and people have gotten insight and people have navigated through some of the challenges, it's their obligation to go out there and spread word through missionary work. And I'm talking about missionary work in terms of developing those men who didn't have it. Like I remember my parents was telling me about the ministry and they were like, you should do this, you should do that. And I was like, I'm not. My ministry is doing what I'm doing. And I guarantee I'm going to impact millions. They say yes. And then when they start seeing me lecturing all over the country and they start seeing the books I was writing, start seeing me doing radio and TV and everything, they're like, wow, you impacted a lot. I say, yes. Everybody got their place. You understand? Yes. And I said, and so that's my ministry. And so when I looked and started being able to help people and mentor men, when I came up with the Black Man's Dialogue, and when I was having my private practice and I was having all men, because I was very strategic in what I was doing, because I knew the average household had, it was female dominated. And so when I was presenting that, taking my agency to the schools, and I was sitting there saying, listen, I know your child is having some struggles. I'm looking at a lot of mothers, which is evidence of the presence of the ladies. I said, listen, give me an opportunity to provide psychotherapy for your child. And I said, I don't only provide that man presence as, I mean, I don't only provide the psychological treatment for your child, but I provide a man presence that's something that is missing in his life in addition to the mentorship component. So he'll be able to engage in me and feel comfortable and have conversations that he may have felt uncomfortable sharing with you guys as mothers. And you may say, well, he can share everything. It's just certain things he need to share and bounce off with me to hear my perspective. And yeah, so those are the things. So it's important that we go out and speak. That's why I say I don't challenge anything. Just yesterday, I was in Wally World. I saw a man. I said, hey, listen, I'm proud of you, Black man. He would say, yeah, I don't know him. And so I saw him just being very compassionate with his children and loving. And I'm like, see, we don't get enough credit for that. And I'm telling you, I'm proud of you, Black man. And then we engage in dialogue, find out he's from Haiti. He's a medical doctor. And he's trying to get citizenship. Now watch this. I said, listen, I have a friend who's a federal immigration attorney. I had him on my show last week. Here's his telephone number, and bam. See, it's just taking the initiative. Remember I said in my quote, potential without initiative. So if you got the potential, you take the initiative. And so we have to start doing that. So I go randomly and see a brother. I see something struggling, and I said, I'm proud of you. And I see, like during the pandemic, I giving away cars. I finance people through it. And I didn't have nearly the money I used to, but I still was blessed to help others. And this is what I'm saying. When you're in a position, you have to give. It's about giving, you know? And so you have to give information. You have to give resources. You have to give prayers. And you have to give blessings.
Powerful. Powerful. Man, after my own heart, I go out of my way to tell people you're doing a good job, especially dads. I said, Dad, you're doing a great job. My wife is with me smiling. The other day I did that to a gentleman as we were taking our walk. And I said, you're doing a great job, Dad. You know, and he smiled. He said, wow, you know, like, he's never heard that before.
And see, that's the thing. I do it with pride and dignity and unapologetically. It's just like when people sit there saying, just because I'm pro-Black don't mean I'm anti-white. And just because I'm pro-fathers don't mean I'm anti-women. It's just that we don't have enough advocating for us. And this is what I do and what I'm passionate about.
It's important to have your positivity in the forefront. That's where the engine is, right? Absolutely. The luggage is usually in the trunk, right? So where you're going should drive you and not what's behind you. I often use the rearview mirror, but a lot of people say, you know, the reason the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield because where you're going is much more important than where you're coming from. But as you do in psychotherapy and in life coaching, you want to get people out of what they used to do and into where they ought to be. And oughtness is a powerful a tool, because sometimes the struggle and the frustration comes from not being what you thought you'd be or what you ought to be. You know, we're going to take a break again. This is Furthering Fathering, where fatherhood is elevated, families are empowered, and communities are transformed, where we teach, we love, we embrace using our five core principles, which form the word heart, H-E-A-R-T, honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. We'll be right back.
Fly TV, the home of on-demand talk shows and so much more, where celebrities, athletes, and entertainers put their content on to be seen by their fans. For more information, visit Fly TV at fli.tv.com.
Ladies, life is too short to be seen wearing boring jewelry. Come on over to Unique Loop-de-Loop, handmade jewelry and designs for your exclusive one-of-a-kind boho, sleek, fashionable jewelry. Log on to www.uniqueloopdeloop.com or join me on Instagram Live at Unique Loop-de-5 each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Haven Church Global, the safe place to grow in grace, where peace is made and the truth makes us free. Join the Haven Church Global's e-service every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a word of encouragement on Jeremy Anthony Maynard's Facebook page and the Jeremy Maynard YouTube page. For more information, visit havenchurchofny.org.
Let's get the conversation started.
Okay, we're back here at Furthering Fathering Radio / Furthering Fathering Multicast. This week we are on, and the show episode is Soul Power for Dads, and AKA Mental Health for Fatherhood with Dr. Suave Walker. Well, you know, David in the Bible encouraged himself in the Lord when he was in a really tough spot. You know, his men were mad at him. The enemy was mad at him. And he just went to Abiathar, the name meaning father of excellence, the priest, and captured the ephod. And he said he encouraged himself in the Lord, right? On your site, you say you help others be their best self with self-love affirmations. What does that look like, and why is that important?
Okay, here's the thing. Since 1989, I said 1989, I've been on the self-love mantra. And so people wasn't even talking about it. I have some t-shirts over there, old school. And people like, you know, and so I always was into self-love. And I was in self-love because I was brought up with positive affirmations. I was brought up with having a high self-esteem. And so I realized that people didn't understand it because I got that reinforcement from home. I didn't have to go out and get validation. So I understood. So a lot of times my confidence was perceived as arrogance. And then what I realized that I was able to do things without dealing with anxiety. I was able to do things with a lot of confidence. And most people, they're nervous. And so what happens is instead of trying to go and learn, they were like, instead of asking questions like, how did you get this? They resent you and call you arrogant because they don't understand. And so I was always taught to say positive things about myself. And then over the years as I grew up, I was always realizing I can is easier to say than I can't.
Amen.
And so over the years, I'm just trying to remember exactly everything you said. And so I was always driven. Yeah. And again, it was just so many different things in life that was always there for me. And so I just walked with authority. You know, I walk with pride. I walk, you know, it's like this. When you're teaching your children, right?
Yes.
You don't want them to go out there acting afraid. You want to go out there and saying, that represents me because I taught them well. Same thing with God. He didn't ask us to go out there and be arrogant. He wants us to go out there and know what you know and that you could bless others.
Yes.
A lot of times people don't understand that.
Yes.
And so I it was something else. It was another part that you mentioned. What was that?
I was asking you about self-love and self-affirmations.
Okay.
Affirmations, yes.
Yes. So now when I thought about it, and I would say, I love myself some me. I even made some t-shirts. I love myself some me. So people didn't understand it. And so I said, one should have unconditional love for themselves because life is too short and too precious for intellectual justification and excuses. And I say that is that we have a lot of excuses for not loving ourselves. And I try to help people understand that people say, well, selfish is bad. I said, no, I'm going to educate you on why selfish is good. Because we have one heart, one life, one soul. Protect at all costs. Mm-hmm. This is about self-love. Watch this. If I have a couple of dollars and you need it, I can lend it to you. Watch this. I have two kidneys. I can lend you one, mm-hmm. you know, because I can live with one. But guess what? I don't have a bunch of souls I can lend you.
That's right.
So I have to understand about living righteous and doing what I need to do. So yes, yes. Loving yourself is learning how to protect your soul, learn how to protect your body, learn how to protect your mind, and learn how to love yourself unconditionally, you know? And these are the things that people got to understand. And so when it comes to the self-love affirmations, I would tell myself, I am great. I am powerful. I am strong. I am, you know, greatness. A lot of times I tell people, I say, you are greatness. Because I'm telling people they are great. Because a lot of times people don't hear that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you say you love me. A lot of people don't even hear that. So I say, I love you. These are things.
That's what I say.
Yes. These are a lot of times where people don't have them. So one of my first books, if you don't mind, these were in my book, The 9 Divine Personal Characteristics. They're very short. And if you don't mind, I don't know how much time. It's just going to read a couple of them.
Yeah,
so again,
sure,
the very first one is self-love. One should have unconditional love for themselves because life is too short and too precious for our justification and, or excuses. By loving yourself, you learn the significance of respecting yourself and not compromising any of your spiritual or moral value systems. Study, read spiritual, cultural, educational, or relational literature that serves as a support system to your personal goals in life. And number three, have a support system. Utilize local resources, friends, family members, church, support groups, psychotherapists, counselors, or life coaches, or organizations that would be supportive to you in your time of need. I even recommend inspirational and spiritual DVDs. Have an accountability partner. These people will not always agree with you, so don't expect them to. They will not agree with your every view, idea, or perspective, but what they will be is the objective party that you will need in a very critical point that may prevent you from doing something that you may regret later. Like I always say, one of the most painful experiences in life is the pain of regret. Never second guess yourself. So often we say, man, something told me to do this, something told me to do that. I believe our blessings and success comes when we honor our gift of discernment. For when we go with our first instincts, excluding emotions because they can get you in big trouble, we pretty much have positive results. And number six, avoid putting yourself in vulnerable positions. As I mentioned about having regrets, placing yourself in compromising positions results in life-altering situations and may affect you financially, emotionally, spiritually, and even cost you your life. And number seven, read positive affirmations. Read short positive affirmations that are very powerful and inspiration for everyday life. And number eight, read Proverbs. This is from my favorite book because it's the book of wisdom and understanding. As you read it, you will learn so much about the benefits of good decision-making and following the advice of the wise. Many say that that experience is the best teacher. However, in my opinion, the best teacher is listening to the words of the wise. And last but not least, display character. Have that distinctive quality about yourself. Have moral and ethical strength. I know that we all fall short of perfection. However, I believe that if we put a little more effort and I strive to improve in the small areas of our life, it will improve in the small areas of our life. Sometimes a little more effort can lead to maximum results. And besides, what would your creator do? Hint, hint, Christian character.
Powerful, powerful. What's the name of the book and where can they get it from?
The book is called Lust Child, Children Born Out of Lust and Not Love. And so this is what I'm talking about. When we start deviating from the way God has those structures, this is why it happens. And this is what comes in generational curses, ultimately breaking down the family.
Lust Child, L-U-S-T-C-H-I-L-D, by Dr. Suave, S-U-A-V-E,
Walker. Yes.
R, yes. The middle initial, R Walker, yes. Say hi to, what's your father's name? What's your father's name? Because honor is our first principle. And I would really like to honor him for, as they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. A tree is known by its fruit. Well, if he's producing a suave R Walker, he's doing something right. What's dad's name? And I pray all is well with him.
Well, my father has passed. He passed on March 10th and 1990. And my grandfather, who a lot of times I refer to my father because he still lived, and he was so instrumental into who I became, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, and that's, again, it's generational, you know, because you have fathers, you have grandfathers, you have two grandfathers, you have uncles. And so those were instrumental. And this is why it's important that we keep up the legacy and provide as much information that we can, because we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth.
Exactly. With me, there's an urgency. So yes. I understand that word urgency. You have a limited amount of time to do what you have to do. Your children are only going to be young. You're going to be their father for their whole life. They're going to be your children for their whole life. But you only have them young for a certain amount of time. Take advantage of that time. Speak. We just talked about affirmation. Speak words of affirmation. Be a source of that wisdom that you were talking about. Be a book of Proverbs for your child. Encourage them to write down things that you've said. It's a powerful, powerful thing that you would have leave an heirloom of wisdom for your children. Now I'm going to say we're on, this is Further and Fathering Multicast. We're on with Dr. Suave R. Walker. And we're talking about soul power for dads. In other words, the mind, the will, and the emotions are given power from wisdom and God, from healthy relationships and from therapy. Yes. What are some of the things that you are doing now, and how can Furthering Fathering help you, Dr. Suave?
Well, listen, what I'm doing currently, I have a few patients. I'm working more and more from my podcast on social therapy with Dr. Brother Suave, and trying to, because I know a lot of times people are apprehensive about going to treatment. So you always have to come up, instead of complaining, you have to come up with resolution. So yes. I tell people spend more time and energy in complaining instead of coming up with resolution. So I realized in society, this is what we're doing. And I realized that a lot of people are on social media or the internet. So what I had to do was be creative and come up with a platform to give therapy over the airwaves. And so again, I told you everything from a social, spiritual, and clinical perspective. So it is social therapy by Dr. Brother Suave. And that's why I'm the divine social therapist. And so I've been able to give that therapy and people can call and come in. Even the silent people who may not comment, but they get the information. And again, it's blessing people's lives. And so that's what I'm doing. And so right now, I'm creating a foundation to provide a lot of services absolutely free. You know, because a lot of times people have an excuse, well, there is no treatment out there. I don't have the money. I don't have insurance. And so I said, okay, I got you. And so that's what I'm doing right now. It's costing a lot, but the bottom line is, potential without initiative, nothing but a conversation with yourself and others and doing absolutely nothing. I got the potential. I took the initiative and it's happening.
Hallelujah. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And the second part of that, how can Furthering Fathering help you?
Well, I mean, the fact is that we collaborate, we share information, and we just encourage each other and support each other, you know? I think that's one of the biggest things that people forget about coming together and supporting each other is strength in numbers, you know? We didn't, you know, it's like a couch. You can pick up a lot of things in a house, but a couch sometimes actually takes two people only because of the length and the balance. So I believe in creating balance. And so when you have two people coming together, you know, it's like you cultivate and embrace with like-minded people for mutual betterment. And obviously we have like-minded. And so we have to cultivate and embrace each other. And powerful. That's what I believe.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Dr. Suave R. Walker. And in case you forgot, we're going to get back to that question before we close. Toxic masculinity. I have a problem with that. A big problem with that. Because you do not hear promoted toxic femininity. So there's an imbalance. The toxicity has nothing to do with your masculinity. Toxicity has to do with how you operate your soul in a self-aggrandizing, narcissistic, and all the other disorders in that type of way. It has nothing to do with how God designed you to be a man, a male, a boy, or any of that. Your masculinity has nothing to do with your toxicity. Your toxicity has to do with your character.
Yes. Well, the thing is, we must realize there are certain groups have agenda. So they create things that's not even, has nothing to do. You won't see it. You won't see it in this. You won't. They come up with stuff. And I remember I told somebody, and a lot of times when I lecture, I ruffle a lot of feathers because I break things out. Now, see right here? This is what it talks about. Like, remember I wrote the book Lust Child?
Yes.
And what they say about children born out of wedlock? I didn't make up the word. It came out of here. So when I lecture, I said, and just for sake of time, it was Adam. So he knew about everything that was in the Garden of Eden, right? So he knew about the tree of knowledge. Here's Adam walking around. He's feeling good. He said, yo, this is Wally the alligator. That's his lady. That's Timmy the tiger. He got his lady. And he said, so if you my lady, I'm going to call you Eden. I see right there, don't touch that tree. I'm just letting you know. Don't touch that tree. So you understand? We on the same page? Now, if you had a son, I'm going to ask you this. You told your son, don't go in that refrigerator. Don't touch that. And he let his little sister influence him to do it, who are you going to have a strong conversation with? Yes, but who did you leave in charge?
You left the son.
Exactly. So what happens is sometimes we're like, I'm going to have a strong talk with you. You're responsible for your own action, but I did leave you in charge and you let this happen.
Yeah.
And so what I say to say is that naturally we'll sit there and say, that's chauvinistic because you took sides. If you favored him and didn't give him the punishment and you gave a little girl more punishment. This is the say, our mind is not on the same page as God has. So he has a reason why he do what he do. So what I'm saying is certain groups have agendas and create words and things and ideals that has nothing to do with the way God intended it to be. So when we're talking about the toxic masculinity, we supposed to be stronger, protective, and have that organic, natural thing to protect our people and our families. It's just like, for example, if something happened, what's the first thing they'll say? You're going to protect me? And then as they keep making us not being protectors, they'll sit there and we'll say, like Kevin Hart say, nah, if he did that to you, what do you think he's going to do to me? I'll stand by and let the police call. See? But we're naturally protectors. But they want us to do scenarios like that. And that's just an agenda. And I don't believe in that toxic masculinity. I think we act as being assertive protectors, and this is the way God had us made. That's why he created us the way he created us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As we're getting ready to close, you told an awesome story. You told an awesome story, and I want to thank you for your service. You're also a veteran. And yes. So you not only talk about taking initiative, I too being a veteran, I appreciate your service. You're service oriented. You're what you do, you call ministry. Who you are, ministers. Can you talk for a minute to the dad out there, the dad out there who may have had a poor relationship with his father and may be struggling even with his children right now? Can you talk to the dad out there who may have lost people due to COVID or lost his job during these times? Can you talk to the dad out there who's struggling and doesn't know where to go or where to turn?
Well, one of the first things is I tell everyone, understand about your personal relationship with God, understanding the importance of forgiveness. And at that point, once you learn how to forgive, you have a lot more clarity in life. And at that turn, you learn how to forgive, you learn how to make better decisions, and then you break generational curses. And so I say that. So when you're having a struggle, and once you learn how to forgive, your minds are opening up. And you start getting this sense of these epiphanies come, and you start like, wow, this is what I need to do. So how can I expect my life to change when I'm holding grudges against my father? You understand? And not considering, look at all the indiscretions we have had, the mistakes I have made, and God still gives us another opportunity. This is why I say each and every day, I thank God for waking me up, my health, life, and strength, and another day to get it right. So you have to appreciate the fact that God is constantly forgiving you and you repenting and learning how to forgive, and you forgive your father in turns, it help you connect to how you are forgiven for all your indiscretions. And so fathers need to understand how important it is to break those curses, those generational curses, and they can go out there and build a better relationship with their children, you know, because sometimes we have these double standards. We mad at our fathers, and then we sitting there saying, what's wrong with my son? Why he can't forgive? Maybe if you starting with yourself and start holding yourself accountable and start sitting there, it starts with you. So you start to forgive your father, and it may be some things that work out for you in your relationship with your children.
Powerful time, powerful words, powerful ministry, powerful man. Love you.
Love you,
brother. Yes. Powerful, powerful time. I'm going to pray out very quickly, and I really thank you for your time, and I pray that the show you're about to do is phenomenal. I pray that, you know, we got you're stretched now, and you're ready to go, and revved up and ready to go. Hello, Abba. We know you've been here the entire time. We hear echoes of your wisdom throughout the entire interview. I ask that you watch over and continue to bless Dr. Suave R. Walker. I ask that you talk to every dad in their heart and mind that is suffering with any form of PTSD, that they're struggling in trauma, but the bitterness is bearing fruit in their life. Help them to uproot the bitterness and plant seeds that will bear sweet fruit, stable fruit, nutritious fruit, fruit that will endure. Thank you, Lord, for this time as you strengthen our souls, for you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Help us to establish our purposes through a multitude of counselors. Help us to make war, hallelujah, with counsel, with wise counsel. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for relationship. We thank you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. This is Furthering Fathering, where fatherhood is elevated, families are empowered, and communities are transformed by five core principles: honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Until next week, we thank you and love you. Peace.